Let me begin with a little bit of a hakdama, and then I want to discuss briefly a halachic issue, a narrower halachic issue, and then bring that back to the hakdama. So this week we began saying slichos. There's a big machlokas about the saying of slichos. Minag, generally speaking, minag of the minag svarad, is to say slichos from the beginning of Chodesh Elul. This was, we begin to blow shofar from the beginning of Chodesh Elul. So that was accompanied by the saying of slichos in the thinking of the Chachmei Svarad. Mostly Chachmei Ashkenaz, as we know, only begin saying slichos a couple of days before Rosh Hashanah. So then the question is, how many days before Rosh Hashanah? And the general minhag of Ashkenaz, without going into all the details, is that if you can get in those 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, so then that's what you do. So you have at least 4 days of slichos, it's fine. And otherwise, you have to begin the whole week before that, because you don't want to have less than the 4 days. So what is the significance of this this 4 day minimum? Why 4 days for the saying of slichos? So the Chachmei Ashkenaz, Mordechai quotes this in Rosh Hashanah, and the other Ashkenazic sources quoted as well, say that the magic number of 4 days is connected to the theme of 10 days, or potential at least, of 10 days of tainus, right, which corresponds to Aseres Yemei Tshuva. In other words, in theory or ideally, there should be 10 days of fasting. Since there are issues about fasting on Rosh Hashanah, I say there are issues because it's a huge machlokas ga'onim already, whether or not you're obligated to fast on Rosh Hashanah, you're prohibited to fast on Rosh Hashanah, or my favorite shita, which is that it's up to you whether you want to fast on Rosh Hashanah. It's not my favorite shita, by the way. I'm not going to speak about that right now, but it's not my favorite shita because it's up to you and it's laissez-faire, so you can do what you want. I hope nobody suspects me of that. It's just my favorite shita because, to me, and this is a theme that I like to mention at least every year, to me it highlights a unique facet of Rosh Hashanah. On the contrary, because I'm not such a laissez-faire, I am in some things, but not in in things like this, because we're not such a laissez-faire religion. So the idea that you could choose whether or not you're going to fast on a day like Rosh Hashanah, when the arguments for fasting or not fasting aren't these parva, namby-pamby, you fast, you don't fast. These are passionate arguments that go to the heart and to the soul of what Rosh Hashanah really is, meaning it's a day of Yerva Fachad and Tzom, it's pre-Yom Kippur, right? Or it's a day of Simcha, and confidence, it's a Yom Tov like other Yom Tovim, where the Achila is part of the Kiyum and the Simcha. Right? These are very passionate, arguments. Again, I don't want to get into right now. So the idea that, knowing that these are seemingly mutually exclusive, very strong perspectives on how you look at Rosh Hashanah, and then you could still say, you have personal choice in a matter like this, to me highlights an aspect, I think, a critical aspect of Rosh Hashanah, and that is that there's certain flexibility in Rosh Hashanah. It's a day in which you are supposed to fashion for yourself what you need within a certain range of your Avodas Hashem. Anyways, the point is that there are, we'll get back to that broader theme, but the larger point is that fasting on Rosh Hashanah is a huge Bachlokas HaGaonim. There are at least 3 shitas. Fasting on the Shabbos of Aseres Yemei Tshuva is also a very vociferously debated point in Rishonim. Some people, in addition to the general question, there are 2 very interesting, sub-issues. One is, again, you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos generally, except for something like a tainus chalom, or you know, atzara shaba latzibor. So is it possible that you could fast aseres yemei tshuva? Does it qualify as atzara shaba latzibor, which would say something amazing about aseres yemei tshuva? That's actually how the Beis Yosef justifies, you know, those who think that you could fast on aseres yemei tshuva. That is part of our theme, which we'll get back to. The relationship, that's one issue. The second issue, the relationship between Shabbos and Yom Tov. What is the relationship between your view about being allowed to or prohibited from fasting on Rosh Hashanah, right, and your view about Shabbos? Is Shabbos a bigger or a smaller problem of fasting in this period? That's also a discussion among the Goyim. But either way, the point is that you certainly can't fast on Erev Yom Kippur. Everybody agrees about that, right? Kol ochel b'tshi kilu ochel umisan ba'asiri. That's the girsa that I particularly like. But everybody agrees Erev Yom Kippur you have to eat. The consensus view, what most of us are knowing, is that on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and the Shabbos of Aseres Yemei Tshuva you eat, and therefore there are 4 days that are not, you know, nitan litzoma latinus, and therefore to make up those 4 days, we say slichos for at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. The yemei slichos were intended, at least potentially, also to be yemei tzom. That's how the Mordechai and other Chachmei Ashkenaz explain why it is that we say slichos when we say slichos. Now, this is all very nice and interesting. What's the larger point that I'm trying to make? So when you think about it, this is a very striking din. I mean, this din that there's a lechatchila, that there should be a period of the year, which whether every individual implements it or every individual implements this or not, but that in theory at least, there is a tkufa in the year which is defined, right, by tzom, by tainus. Ad kedei kach, that if you can't, you know, or anybody can't, nobody can accomplish it, that somehow you have to kind of substitute, you know, for it. It's not just, that's what we might have thought, that Aseres Yemei Tshuva are the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There's a lot, you know, hanging in the balance. Right? I mentioned the Beis Yosef perspective a minute ago about it being like an Eis Tzara, practically like, you know, the town is being surrounded, you know, by enemies, and, you know, there's justification maybe even for fasting on Shabbos, let's say. So the point is that you're in the after Rosh Hashanah period and the pre, you know, Yom Kippur period and everything that's going on, and therefore Aseres Yemei Tshuva is a hechsher. It's a follow-up on one and a hechsher on the other, and mimela, right, there are things you should be doing. But this idea that the Yemei Slichos correspond to fast days, you know, that would generate a 10-day period or potential period of tzom seems to go considerably beyond that. It seems to tell us that because after all, the 4 days of Tainus are coming before Rosh Hashanah, and it's not in response to yet. The point is that we want there to be a 10-day designated period of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, which has a certain kind of tzura. Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo kara'u b'yaso karov. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Elo Aseres Hayamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Liyama Kippurim. These are the that pasuk, you know, that we, the pasuk in Yeshaya, Dirshu Hashem Bihimatzo Karov Biyoso Karov, the days of Biyoso Karov and Bihimatzo are the days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So I always like to quote the comment of the Marsha Alatar, I'm sure others make the comment as well, and that is that, you know, you don't have to be a mathematician, you know, to know that there's a little bit of a problem there, right? There aren't 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? I mean, depending on how many days of Rosh Hashanah you want to count, but there certainly aren't 10. You know, there are 8, there are 7, as the case may be. So what about that phraseology, Aseres Hayamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah L'Yom HaKippurim? Moreover, it should be noted that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and the Rambam codifies this in Hilchos Tshuva, see these Aseres Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah L'Yom HaKippurim, right, Behimatzo Biyoso Karov, right, it's not just a nicety, and not just as an urgent, an opportune moment. One could have said, again, the stakes are great. Yom Kate Slicho Mechila L'Kol Yachid L'Rabim, to use the language of the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, that's coming up. And, we just experienced, talking about if you're in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, not right now, but we're in the phantom Aseres Yemei Tshuva, or the substitute Aseres Yemei Tshuva. You've just experienced Yom Adin. So, Yeshua Hashem, Behimatzo, Krov, Yoso, Karov, it's propitious days for doing tshuva. But if you look at the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Tshuva, it's beyond that. The substance of tshuva, right, the dynamic of tshuva is different in these days than other days. In terms of the requirements or the role of Schus HaRabim, etc. That's what the Gemara establishes. It sounds like Aseres Yemei Tshuva is not merely, again, an intervening period, right, and a period of hazard and opportunity, but there's a chalos called Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and that expresses itself at least in these three different ways that I just mentioned. Calling it Aseres Hayamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah L'Yom HaKippurim, ignoring the math, not really ignoring the math, what we're really saying is that Aseres Yemei Tshuva, in addition to being the bridge or the connector between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right, also integrates with, just like Rosh Hashanah and just like Yom Kippur, are intrinsic moedim, and they have a certain stature and status in and of themselves, right, so too, what we're saying is, by extension, right, it's a 10-day period, right? And it is bane, but the bane here, right, is an inclusive bane. The 10 that connect are also integrated with. And therefore, the phraseology, though mathematically, superficially troubling, is important. And the fact that, we know that Tzisvan Yom Kippur, the Dine Tshuva really are different. There's a different dynamic of tshuva on Yom Kippur than any other day. It's the day, only day that the Rambam ever speaks about a chiyuv to do tshuva. I think we spoke about that a little bit last year, right? In Hilchos Tshuva, the one time the Rambam speaks about an obligation to do tshuva is when he speaks about Yom Kippur. He speaks about the obligation to be mizvadeh when you do tshuva, but the obligation chiyuv lo shuv, right, is mentioned by the Rambam only in Yom Kippur. As we know, the dynamic of tshuva is just different on Yom Kippur than it is on any other day. The role of the Seir Mishtaleach, and with tshuva, without tshuva, clearly, dinei tshuva are different on Yom Kippur. When we say that there are 10 days, in other words, when we associate the bridging days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva with Yom Kippur itself, it's not surprising that the 10 days themselves operate differently in terms of Dinei Tshuva. And for that reason, I think this idea of the Minhag Ashkenaz, which is these are 10 days of fasting, and obviously our norm is not fasting. The only Daraisa fast that we really have, of course, is Yom Kippur. For there to be, again, this is only a minhag Ashkenaz, it's not a din daraisa, but we take very seriously, minhagim. Minhagim, often on a different level, reflect the values and the sensibility of the daraisas. So that there should be such a striking and demanding minhag to have the correspondence of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yemei Tzom, is in a way an accentuating of, number one, the anticipation of Yom Kippur, right, already at the beginning of the process. I would add that Erev Rosh Hashanah plays a particularly critical role in all of this. Maybe we'll speak about that on Thursday more. But there's evidence that Erev Rosh Hashanah is particularly encouraged to be a day of fasting, or at least that it should start off, or till after Chatzos as a day of fasting. And it seems to establish a certain chalos for this entire period of time. This idea that Aseres Yimei Tshuva, right, is a chalos b'shnei atzmo, that it's a kind of bubble of time, is something which needs to be tested, and I think upon analysis can be appreciated more fully when we extend it to other issues as well. There's a whole literature out there about, you know, the special things that we do or don't do. In some cases, it's debated whether we do or don't do on Aseres Yimei Tshuva. So many of them can be attributed simply to what I said before. It's a time of urgency. It's a time of opportunity. It's the aftermath of Rosh Hashanah. It's the Hechsher and the preparation for Yom Kippur. The things I've mentioned so far seem to be more than that. Right? If you have a different dynamic of tshuva, if you're allowed to be tzom in places where you're not supposed to, usually, or if it's a day characterized as yimei tzom, to the extent that you kind of, you know, have to, you know, extend the time span, if it's, you know, if the math is wrong, and yet we emphasize it, so the implication is that it's more than simply preparation. But unquestionably, many of the things that we do that are singular to the period of Aseres Yimei Tshuva can be explained in very, you know, Hechsher type terms. But there are others that are not, and there are some that are clearly debated. So let me just mention a few things and highlight what I mean. Again, there's a Yerushalmi, which gave rise to a different application, again, mostly in Ashkenaz. Yerushalmi seems to say that there's a greater requirement of tahara, right, during Aseres Yimei Tshuva than there is, you know, Kol Hashanah. Kol Hashanah, there's no obligation to be tahar, right? Chayv Adam L'Tahar Atzmo B'Regel, right? But there's no obligation of tahara normally. B'Niv L'Sam Lo Sigo, right? Chazal tell us, the Sifra, the Gemara quotes it as well, partially, that Chayv Adam L'Tahar Atzmo, right, B'Regel. But if only Kohanim have the prohibition of Tumas Meis, then the implication is that Kohanim don't have a prohibition of other kinds of Tuma, and non-Kohanim don't have any kind of prohibition. Without going into so much detail, there seems to be discussion, the status of, you know, Chaver, you know, who was Machbid about his Tahara all year round. There's a discussion in the Rishonim. There are some Rishonim who think that there is a value to it, clearly, Zivra Chinuch and others, right? The Rambam has an interesting formulation of this in the end of course, Tumas Ochlin. But the short part of the story is that aside from Chayv Adam L'Tahara Satzmo B'Regel, there is no din of Tahara Kol Hashanah, right? And that the Yerushalmi has this idea that in the Tkufa, that's the way the Yerushalmi is understood at least, that in the Tkufa between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there is this obligation of tahara. Now again, it's a fascinating thing. Torah says, Lifnei Hashem, Titaru, right? Ki ba yom hazeh yichaper aleichem, tahara eschem, mikol chatoseichem, Lifnei Hashem, Titaru. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, Lifnei Hashem, Titaru is actually the special chiyuv to do tshuva on Yom Kippur beyond the chiyuv tshuva Kol Hashanah. I mentioned before that the Rambam only mentions a chiyuv tshuva on Yom Kippur. Rabbeinu Yonah believes there's a chiyuv tshuva Kol Hashanah, just as the Ramban does, but he still thinks that there's a separate chiyuv tshuva on Yom Kippur, and it comes from the pasuk of Lifnei Hashem Titaharu. But the interesting thing is that according to the Yerushalmi, there's an obligation of tahara, not only on Yom Kippur, but for the entire period. Again, there's all sorts of different formulations about going to the mikveh, you know, Erev Yom Kippur, even Bizmanenu, and what about Erev Rosh Hashanah, and whether it's one din or two different dinim, is it for two different reasons? What's particularly fascinating is the view that of the people who go to the mikveh also Erev Rosh Hashanah, but seem to be doing so because of factors that we normally associate with Yom Kippur. But in general, just to take a step back, the idea that Aseres Yimei Tshuva, according to the Yerushalmi, Lechatchila, is a type of time of Tahara, so that has nothing to do with Yom Kippur, and that's just a kind of Hidur, a Lefnim Meshuras Hadin kind of behavior, for Aseres Yimei Tshuva, to heighten your avoda and your preparation, and so on. Or, this is what I'm asking, it's Lefnei Hashem Titaru, right? But for the entire period, it's Elo Asaras Hayamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah LeYom HaKippur. When we find Dinei Yom Kippur on Rosh Hashanah and some Dinei Rosh Hashanah on Yom Kippur, or some Dinei Rosh Hashanah in the aftermath of Rosh Hashanah and some Dinei Yom Kippur in the advance of Yom Kippur, right? So the implication seems to be, once again, that we're not just perceiving Aseres Yimei Tshuva as a time of opportunity and a time of hazard, as a time of preparation, right? But that in some respects we see the entire Tkufa from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippurim as a single entity, as a single unit, even as, and this is very, very, very important because it's a 50% part of the story as well, even as we see important, discrete status, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and that there's a certain process, it's not all one theme, certainly. There's a process of going from one theme to the next theme, but in some cases going back to one theme or going forward, overlapping. The preparation from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippurim is one which is both integrated and smooth, and also step by step. And it's also broken up step by step, in some cases, into different steps with respect to different aspects. That sounds complicated, but that's what it is. The point is that the Yerushalmi's idea, if it's associated with pre-Yom Kippur, right, is another example, seemingly, of treating Aseres Yimei Tshuva as a kind of, a bubble of time in its own right, something you draw a circle around, something which is treated differently than Kol HaShana, and as a unit in some respects. The Minhag Ashkenaz, since Bizmanenu, it's very difficult to maintain Tahara, was to take this Yerushalmi and to translate it into a different din. That is, even people who were not, I'd say, always makbid for things like, Pasakum, so they were noeg in Aseres Yimei Tshuva. They were noeg that. And then there's the whole discussion, and what about things like people who were, let's say, Mekel on Chadash B'chutz Laaretz? What about Chadash B'chutz Laaretz and Aseres Yimei Tshuva? So while those have nothing to do with like a pre-Yom Kippur, the actual themes of Shebein Rosh Hashanah LeYom HaKippurim, right? Again, I think it's a very fascinating thing. One could look at this Minhag Ashkenaz as, in very quantitative and Heksherim type of manner. You could say, you want to build up some Zechuyos, you want to highlight your Frumkeit. You have to be careful when you take that kind of perspective, because there's a fine line, between being lefnim meshuras hadin in your halachic behavior, and following proper chumras, and accentuating your flaws, or your hypocrisy in some cases, or your inconsistency, in Kol HaShana. Like all of a sudden, it's Asar Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah LeYom HaKippurim, and you have all these hidurim. Where are you all the rest of the year? Again, I'm not criticizing. It's a minhag Ashkenaz. It's something you know, that we should embrace. What I'm saying is that you have to know how to relate to it. The point isn't simply to rack up skuya. It's not fooling the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, right? He, you know, he's a bochen kloyos v'lei, so you know he knows what's sincere and what's not sincere. The point rather is that just as on Moadim we accentuate certain values, right, once a year or a certain time during the year, right, and we do that, right, to intensify our connection with those values, so that the rest of the year when we pursue other values, right, we don't ignore these. On the contrary, they're part of they're integrated already into our overall halachic religious personality, right? So too, I think the idea really is not to build up skuyos, you know, to get you over the top. There's nothing wrong with that either. Again, as long as it isn't done, you know, in a crude kind of a way. But I think the deeper idea, more, I think, ambitious idea, is the idea that you may not be able to sustain certain kind of behavior because other pressures, sometimes competing halachic pressures, don't allow for it. But the ability, like, to have a period of time, right, in which you do connect with those values is very important. Right? In other words, it's what establishes, I like to say always about the Moadim and about other themes like this as well, you know, that the balance that you have isn't a balance based on concessions and compromise and mediocrity, but it's a balance based on strength. You know, it's a shnayim oksim, you know, or a kalechad tofes, you know, not where, you know, no one has anything. So the point is that if you see aseres yemei tshuva not merely as, you know, a time in which, you know, there's a particular you know, strong spotlight on your behavior, and where there's an exaggerated, you know, impact, everything you do or don't do, because, you know, there is a count of some sort going on, however that count really works, you know, for Beinonim, for Tzadikim, and so on, but rather we see it as a tkufa of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, chalos Aseres Yemei Tshuva, a bubble in time, then the problem of hypocrisy or how come you're not continuing with this prohibition or this, you know, minag tov, you know, after Yom Kippur. You got your slicho mechila and then you threw away your pasakum or your, by the way, for that reason there are some poskim who say, don't do this. The more substantive the iser, right, the worse idea it is to do. So that sounds like it's counterintuitive. Right? You would think that the more substantive the chumrah, right, the better it is to do. But what they say is, the more substantive the chumrah, then the more problematic it is that you're only doing it during this small tekufa. If it's pasakom or some other noheg tov, you know, so then, okay, you know, there's a value to doing it in a burst of intensity, or especially in a certain bubble of time, which makes sense, and it makes sense with the other things you're doing and with the focus that you have then, and the fact that you don't have to you know, drop it because of competing valid halachic interests, right? But the more substantive it is, the more it sounds like, you know, you're being inconsistent, and in a way, you know, being expedient, right, to achieve a slichol mechila that you really don't deserve. You know, it's kind of like a, you know, an echt. It isn't really echta. We're not talking about echta, but, you know, it's almost like, you know, an echta, you know, the ashuv, echta the ashuv, ein maspikin biyado, you know, lasos, you know, tshuva kind of a thing. But if we see aseres yemei tshuva, they say, in this way, then those kind of nihugim, obviously, make a great deal more sense. This idea is particularly reflected in the area of tefillah. As we know, I'm going to stop in a couple of minutes, but this is of course a massive topic. As we know, there seem to be all sorts of differences between tefillah Kol HaShana and the tefillah not only of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but in some cases Aseres Yemei Tshuva as well. There's actually Machlokas Rishonim whether some of these Shinuyim apply and which of these Shinuyim apply in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, which of them are limited to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But again, in broad strokes, since we don't have time, let's just say the following. There are some things that make more sense either for Rosh Hashanah or for Yom Kippur. The fact that they extend to both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right, already implies a little bit that, you know, there is this circle, you know, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, and there is this chalos, and there is this connection, Hamelech HaKadosh. The idea of Malchios, obviously, is introduced by Rosh Hashanah. Some of the more vidui focused aspects of Tefillah, in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, on Rosh Hashanah even, seem more closely connected with Yom Kippur. In some cases, we find in the Rishonim or the Gaonim that they really were very strict, right, to compartmentalize, you know, even Rosh Hashanah from Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur from Rosh Hashanah. That's not a stira to what we're saying, but it either highlights, you know, that what we're saying is wrong, and that Rosh Hashanah l'chud, Yom Kippur l'chud, although of course no one can deny that there's some connection, or what it says is what I said before, which is that it's a little more, the picture is a little bit more complex. Even if we view Aseres Yemei Tshuva as an integrated whole, what we mean by that is that there's a process, and it's a process of stages, and the anticipation of Yom Kippur and the aftermath of Rosh Hashanah, you know, influence these stages. We never deny that there are fundamental stages and discrepancies between the themes. You can only move from a Rosh Hashanah, which emphasizes, you know, one aspect of your avoda, to Yom Kippur, which is totally opposite in some respects, by giving full expression, right, to each one separately, but doing so, you know, while not only contrasting but recognizing and building, you know, one from the other. So, for example, just to highlight a little bit further, there's a debate among the Gaonim whether or not the haskaros, the extra haskaros that we insert in Tefillah, there's a debate about some of them whether they should be done in Aseres Yemei Tshuva either. But even if they are, only Aseres Yemei Tshuva, right? I'm sorry, only Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? Or even Aseres Yemei Tshuva. For example, the saying of Zochreinu L'chaim, and Chsov L'chaim, V'sefer Chaim, Michamocha, possibly. Some people think Michamocha is not as much of a problem. Some Gaonim are the opinion. Our minhag, obviously, is to say it from the beginning of Rosh Hashanah till the end of Yom Kippur. Some of the Gaonim were of the opinion that you should say it only on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because there is something problematic about them, as I'll explain in just a second. In the other direction, there are some Chachmi Ashkenaz who said that, what do you mean you should limit these things to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and exclude Aseres Yemei Tshuva? Aseres Yemei Tshuva, if I had my druthers, said one of the Gaonim, Tur quotes it as well, I would say, uvechein tein pachtecha, you know, all Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Okay? I don't know whether that would get us out of davening, you know, earlier or not, probably not, but it's a fascinating question. So even the haskaros, you don't say on Aseres Yemei Tshuva, or even uvechein tein pachtecha, you do. Again, it seems like the issue is how do you look at Aseres Yemei Tshuva? So let me again move back just for 1 second to explain a little better what I mean here. There are different kinds of shinuyim in Hilchos Tefillah. And I have to finish in like 1 minute. So maybe we'll continue with this part on the second half of Thursday. And then I want to speak about the other part that I didn't get to, the Rosh Hashanah part. So there are different parts. I'll just give you two quick examples. So one issue, for example, is I mentioned Zachreinu L'chaim and maybe not Nichamocha, that's like a sub-debate, but certainly Ksov L'chaim, maybe not B'Sefer Chaim, that also seems to be a question. What's the problem? So the Rishonim speak about this, the Gonim already, and then the Bali Tosis in Brachos and Dapid Beis. The problem is, Ein, right, there's no Bakoshos normally in Shalosh Rishonos and in Shalosh Achronos. I guess Dapiomi is learning Brachos now, so probably everybody's going to Brachos. So as we know, right, there are rules in the structure of Shemoneh Esrei. It seems like a lot of the rules for the structure of Shemoneh Esrei are broken on Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So some of the Gonim said that no, and the Bali Tosfos say this as well in Brachos. There's a difference between, you know, Tzorchei HaRabim and Tzorchei HaYachid. Others said, in Ochanami, this is a very serious problem. You really shouldn't say any of these Haskaros. These Haskaros, the Zachrein, Melech HaKadosh, Melech HaMishpat, that the Gemara speaks about. We'll get that in a second as well. But Zachreinu L'chaim and the others, they come from the Gonim. So some of the Mefarshim say, listen, they're not in the Talmud, they're a problem. You know, you shouldn't do it. It's really a violation of the integrity of Shemoneh Esrei. Others said Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you know, that's one thing. But Aseres Yemei Tshuva, part of the debate is, the Prisha on the tour says, well, I don't understand. If the reason is Tzorchei HaRabim, what difference it make whether it's Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur or Aseres Yemei Tshuva? And it highlights, you know, the Beis Yosef point that I mentioned before about whether Aseres Yemei Tshuva is considered to be like a time of crisis. Again, Chachmei Ashkenaz, the ones in the 14th, 15th century, discuss the problem of an Avel, whether an Avel can be a Shliach Tzibur on the Amnerayim. So there are different formulations, but I think the Maril is the one who says that if there's nobody as, you know, competent, religiously competent, I'm not talking about musically, probably, but as this person, so then it's like the heta that you have in Avelus, you know, to be a teacher, you know, kisharabim tzrichim lo, you know, you drop the prohibition, you know, of Talmud Torah. So the point is, a shliach tzibur for the Yomim Neroim, who, you know, has you know, better religious credentials, is in the category of rabim tzrichim lo, more so than kol hashana. We're talking about somebody who obviously is excluded from being a shliach tzibur because he's an avel, right, not during the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur / Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So there's this question, again, how do we look at Aseres Yemei Tshuva, both in terms of the practical urgency from the Hechsherim point of view of what it does. What I'm suggesting is, beyond that, Aseres Yemei, do the dinim of tefillah, this is the central question I'm asking, do these shinuyim and dinim, all of which are discussed. Hamelach HaKadosh, Hamelach HaMishpat. So the Gemara in Brachos has a different deos whether or not you should really substitute or not. The Machlokas Rishon, how to read the Gemara. The Machlokas says everybody agrees with Chatkila, you should say Hamelach HaKadosh, and the question is whether B'diyeved it's Ma'akev, Rav Elazar, Rav Yossi, a different Mandamrim, this is Sugin Brachos, Tafiyud Beis on the Beis. Or the Machlokas is dafka on the level of the chatchila. That was the view of the Rabia. Rabia said that if you skip a melech hakadosh, you know, we paskin, if you skip a melech hakadosh, you chozer. We also paskin that in Shulchan Aruch that if there's a safek, right, you should be chozer as well. Right? The Rabia disagreed. The Rabia said, even if you know vadai, you said akel hakadosh, not so terrible. So the Bach says, because in the end of the day, if you said a Melech HaKadosh all year round, would you be chozer? They're basically interchangeable. Others explained it a little bit differently, meaning, to what extent do we really think that Hakel HaKadosh or a Melech HaKadosh represents a fundamental change in perspective? Right? Mimadashach. If you think that the discrepancy between Hakel and a Melech HaKadosh, right, is great, right? So that would explain the shita that you're chozer, right? It's not a bracha levatala to say it again, because you know you said the wrong. You were really mishanami ma'beah shetivu chachamim. You didn't daven properly. On the other hand, it raises a different question, and that is, so such a fundamental difference, enough to justify chazara, and the Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur slash Aseres Yemei Tshuva is so different than the Shmoneh Esrei of Kol Hashanah. That's probably what it held the Ravya. The Ravya said the whole machlokas has to be about lechatchila. So the Bach said half of it. What you'd say a Melech HaKadosh, they'd make you repeat the Kol Hashanah. You say a Kol HaKadosh on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's not the end of the world either. Or no. So the point is that if really it is such a big difference, so basically what we're saying is that the Shmoneh Esrei, which we're, we associate, you know, Kol Hashanah, is different than Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Partly that's what the Torah. The Torah quotes the Masechet Sofrim. Masechet Sofrim has a famous line. They're obviously like this line as well. I don't have time to read it. Something like Kemo Shenishtanu. You know, binuschosav or something, nishtanu bedinav or something like that. Meaning, it's a tefillah, the dine tefillah and Shmoneh Esrei are not just adjustments, that's a question. They're an adjustment to fine tune for the themes of, to prepare for, to take advantage of, or what we have here is an Aseres Yemei Tshuva, which is a bubble in the year, and that bubble in the year has a different status. Right, the famous debate about Hamavarech Hasamo Yisrael Bashalom or Oseh Hashalom, right, the gro is makbid not to say it, is that issue too. To what extent are you comfortable changing Nuschos HaTfilah? Right, the question of piyutim on the Yomim Naroi and an Aseres Yemei Tshuva is that question. It's always a double question. How big is the discrepancy? How fundamentally different are Aseres Yemei Tshuva? So we'll stop here and continue on through. But the point I'm trying to make is that if indeed there really is this approach that Aseres Yemei Tshuva, right, is a bubble in time, and that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not just, you know, two critical days of the year, even 2 days that are connected with each other, but they constitute, you know, the beginning and the end, but also the integration, separate and continuous, of a whole process, right, that is taken out of time in a way, right, so that obviously, you know, that magnifies, you know, the importance of each. So we want to understand better is how that relationship really works, you know, both discreetly and the bridge that is built. What is it about Rosh Hashanah? What is it about Yom Kippur? And what is this bridge of Aseres Yemei Tshuva as a separate chalos? What does it really come? So here's Hashem continue on.